Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 387, entitled Building Customer Trust Through Transparent Crisis Management with Mark Benzekane. It was published on Thursday, the 29th of August, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we get to Mark and our interview and chat about this really interesting subject, first of all, a few bits of housekeeping. The first thing to mention is that if you like what we're doing, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Follow us on those channels that you find there. You can message us on those channels. And probably the best thing to do is to submit your email address into one of the forms there, and we will send you a notification, an email notification, twice a week. One when we produce a podcast episode. That's what you're listening to now. That comes out on a Thursday. But we've also got our This Week in WordPress show, which we do live every Monday. And that is repurposed on the following day, so the Tuesday, as a podcast episode as well. wpbuilds.com/subscribe. The next thing to mention is that if you would like to get your product or service in front of a WordPress-specific audience, well, we have that, and you can find more details at wpbuilds.com/advertise. And four fantastic companies that have done that are GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, Omnisend, and Memberful. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. You can experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. We're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And we're also joined by Memberful. Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, Omnisend, and Memberful. Keeping the lights on over at WP Builds. Do remember, content like this cannot be produced without the help of these fabulous sponsors. So all of them in turn, thank you so, so much for helping us keep on keeping on. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, it's a podcast episode with Mark Benzekane. Mark, as you will hear, has been in the tech space for a very long time, especially in the WordPress space. But this episode is really different. We've never touched on anything like this because this is all about something that happened in a business that Mark was working with several years ago, where essentially they were, if you like, hacked, and they faced a demand for a very large amount of money. And it's all about Mark's approach to handling that and keeping the customers, because obviously if something like that happens, it would be easy to go into denial mode, just ignore the problem, don't mention it to the public, to your customers. But that's exactly what Mark didn't do. He opted instead for transparent, open, and honest. And you can hear for yourself the results of that and how Mark feels that's the best way to go forward should this happen to you. So here it comes. I hope that you enjoy this episode. I am joined on the podcast by Mark Benzekine. Kane, Kine?
Benzekine.
Benzekine. I've done this to you so many times. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I mean, you know, if it were Smith, if my last name was Smith and you were mispronouncing it, that would be, you know, embarrassing. But, you know, Benzekine.
Mark's been on This Week in WordPress several times, and I thought it would be really nice to bring him over onto the WP Builds podcast to have a chat. As is always the case, we share show notes prior to the recording of the podcast audio. And Mark was very kind to offer me up about 8 different subjects. And the one that I chose is unlike anything we've ever recorded before. Basically, it's going to be a story with me kind of interjecting and going, wait, what? How? No. That kind of thing. It'll be really interesting. But before we get to that, Mark, just tell us a little bit about you. This is a WordPress podcast, so maybe skew your biography in the WordPress direction, but over to you. Just tell us who you are and all of that.
WordPress, isn't that a blogging software?
It's a blogging platform.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, my name is Mark Benzekine, or Benzekine, or however you want to call me. I have pretty much been involved in technology since the age of 10, when I started doing programming on the mainframe at the university my dad taught at. I was up there all the time, and I think that all the professors got so sick of me that the math and computer sciences department decided to give me an account and shove me into the little terminal rooms, and I was hooked ever since. Throughout my life, I've been involved in everything from photography to network administration to building an ISP to eventually getting involved in WordPress. I was the operations manager at ServerPress for about 10 years, where we made a desktop server, and which is a local development software, and ended that in 2022. And now I am currently doing marketing and PR type stuff for a couple of companies. MainWP is the main one, and I have a family, 8 kids, 6 of whom have been adopted through foster care, and that's a whole nother story. and then I got one who's graduating in June, and life moves pretty fast.
Yeah. I confess, when I hear the number 8 with associated in the sentence, I have this many kids, I have 3, and man alive.
Well, let me tell you, for a long time it was just one kid. And what I found is that there's actually this thing called that I call subtraction through addition. The more kids you have, the more they entertain each other.
That's true.
I remember there was one time that I literally, from all the neighborhood kids and everything, there were 19 kids in the house, and I was the only adult. and I was sitting in the living room. I was actually watching TV, and I had this moment, just this brief moment, where I thought to myself, if these kids realize that I'm the only adult in here, if they stop long enough to realize I'm a dead man.
Yeah. I always think that about teachers. You know, at the front of the classroom, kind of. If the kids figured it out, the ratio is definitely against the teacher.
Then it becomes a whole Lord of the Flies situation after that. But
anyway, we're already off on a tangent. Mark and I got in contact with each other about an hour and a half before this podcast started, and we were supposed to press record more or less immediately, and we just got chatting. So this will probably be a lovely random rambly episode, but let's see where it goes. So the thing that you said to me was, one of the things anyway that you said you might like to talk about, was about crisis management. And I've never, ever thought about this, not even a little bit. I mean, the worst that's happened to me is that my WordPress websites have gone down. I've had to find a backup and all of that kind of stuff. But then I clicked on the link that you provided and read the story. And as I read through the story, I was absolutely certain this is what we're going to talk about, because it's so interesting. Now, we will link to a document that you can read to give you the full the full story, but where's
that's
the fun
actually
in that?
By the way, that's actually not the full story.
That's not, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it gets better. But there's no point in for the podcast audience, we really need to be told that story. So let's rewind the clock. Let's go back to the beginning of this. Where were you working? What was the kind of role that you were doing? What was the company? And then honestly, the floor is yours. Just tell us this story and we'll get into it. And I'll interrupt if I see fit.
So this happened, and I want to say, I know that it was in March of, I want to say 2001, but I'm not absolutely positive. It might have been 2002. Anyway, somewhere in there. And the reason I know it was in March was it happened at the same time that my brother was getting married.
Oh.
And so I had, thank goodness he did not ask me to be his best man. But I did have groomsman duties and family duties and people flying in from all over the place. And this happened basically over a weekend, the same weekend that my brother was getting married. And so it was a really fun quotes, thing to manage. But, essentially, what had happened was we had there was a security breach. I was running a company called Linkline Communications. At the time, I was I think I was the network administrator. I might have been the general manager. I don't remember. And we had gone through quite a few changes structurally as a company. We had brought in a new CEO, and a number of things had happened. And this, a lot of people are going to just freak out over this, but we were running Microsoft IIS at the time. And there was a security breach where somebody had emailed us, and this was... So there were several things that happened. Some things that frustrated the living daylights out of me, which was there was a hacker who had emailed our CEO and said, I have access to all of your customer data. And if you don't pay us, it was, he wanted $40,000, I think. If you don't pay me $40,000, I'm going to go to your customers and tell them that I have their data, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of the typical extortion kind of thing. And what was frustrating to me was I there are very few people that I vehemently dislike. This CEO happened to be one of those people in my life, and he didn't, and by the way, he liked me as much as I liked him. So the frustration for me was he had been getting these emails for about 2 weeks and had not told me about them.
Oh.
What had happened was I was having a meeting with my network administration team, and somebody says, what are we going to do about this Zilterio situation? And I said, what Zilterio situation? And, oh, didn't you know? Well, apparently the CEO had end-arounded me, gone to one of the network administrators and said, hey, you know, I'm getting this email. Is there anything to it? And they said, well, you know, they'll look into it. Well, it turned out they had looked into it and they had found that there was actually a hole, you know, a security hole within IIS that would have allowed him to access his customer data. And my immediate reaction was, of course, I wanted to throw up. And then after that, it was anger because this was something that we should have addressed, in my opinion, 2 weeks ago when the emails started coming in, which is what turned it into a bigger crisis, because then all of a sudden the clock was ticking because he had given us a deadline. And so I thought about it long and hard, and I'm like, this is above my pay grade to deal with this. My thing was, I know we need to get ahead of this somehow. I know that we need to take care of the problem first and foremost, but my whole thing from day one was always be honest with your customer. Especially, I used to say this all the time, keep in mind, our hands are in their pockets, okay? And nothing is going to nothing is going to cause a user to lose faith faster than when you have your hands in their pockets and you're not being truthful with them. The whole basis, the whole foundation of trust, everything that you have in a relationship with your customer is out the door. And so
can I just pause you there for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
The story for a moment. Because I want to know a couple of things about the company. First of all, what kind of industry was this? What was the...
Okay, this was an internet service provider.
Okay.
This was the early days of the kind of the wild, wild west of the internet. I mean, a little bit. It was, you know, post AOL. AOL was kind of already on its way out. More and more people were going. It was dial-up. You know, people in their 56K, you know, Sportster modems, and if you remember all that stuff.
I do. And what kind of data were you holding back then? I mean, I'm guessing, you know, email addresses, names,
Addresses and physical credit cards.
Oh.
Yeah. Back then, it wasn't as easy for people to pay by PayPal or, you know, whatever, or Stripe, or in fact, Stripe and Square. We had to have relationships actually with a credit card processor. And you remember the old days of the credit card terminals with the buttons on them. And okay, well, you either had that or you had a very rudimentary kind of system that people could put their credit card information in. But generally, people called us in with their credit card numbers and we entered it into our system. And so we had all of this information.
Okay.
And I mean, this was a long time ago. There have been a lot of, you know, security things that have gone into place as a result.
That's right. Yeah. Tokenized payments and all of that kind of thing.
Yes. Exactly.
But the point is, you've got data, you've got really valuable data
that could
be exploited for financial gain, but could also be sort of socially engineered. You know, you've got their addresses and you know their names and things like that. Just one other thing. How do you have any notion back in that year, 2021, 2022, whichever it was, how prevalent were hacking attempts?
2001, 2002, not 2021.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Apologies. Yeah. 2001, 2002. Yeah. How prevalent were hacking attempts back then? Because you hear it all the time now. In fact, it's you know, it's an industry. There are people who just do this as a day job. But back then, was this kind of thing much more rare?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. It was probably, I'd say, percentage of hackers versus percentage of legitimate users is probably the same as it is now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Back then, hackers had to know what they were doing. These days, you know, you can go on the internet and find a formula, and it's kind of like, you know, I can bake a cheesecake from scratch. I don't know the first thing about baking, but I can go online and find the information, whereas 20 years ago, I'd have to, like, go to the library, get a cookbook or something. It's the same thing. And there were people, there was no such term that I remember back then, I could be wrong, as an ethical hacker. But the whole thing that always was interesting to me was I was always hacking things just to see if I could do it. And, you know, so there's that whole ethical hacker side of things. And then there's the people that want to extort money out of you or do something else nefarious, you know, corporate espionage. I mean, corporations were paying hackers big bucks to be able to get into other people's data files. And
oh,
like
okay.
That.
So no. Hacking was a thing. It was a thing.
It was a thing.
Okay. Sorry. I interrupted
the story. That's okay.
At the point where you were talking about, you know, trust and honesty and how the whole pyramid of a company really relies upon the foundation of trust. So carry on. Okay.
Well, and the thing is, I knew that it was important that I knew it was important that we controlled the narrative. And I don't want that to sound like manipulative.
Yeah.
But in a way, I guess it is. But for me, controlling the narrative, the fundamental philosophy behind controlling any narrative is it has to be based completely on truth, right? You can't control a narrative and have it be based on a lie because it's just going to fall apart. However, if you say nothing, or if you sweep it under the rug, or if you hide it, then what you're doing is you're giving control to everyone else to control the narrative.
Right.
And humans being what humans are, we're going to make the narrative the worst possible narrative we can come up with. You know,
yeah,
they did this on purpose. They were sloppy. They blah, 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 this and that and the other thing, you know, because that's what we do as humans.
Yeah.
And the reason they're going to believe that narrative is because we didn't say anything about it in the first place, which means we have something to hide.
Yes. I think in this generation now, there's so much history of, you know, kind of just saying nothing, literally saying nothing in the face of a security breach, or just kind of playing it down, pretending like, oh, mm-hmm. a little bit of customer data may have been compromised. Whereas, you know, a year later, we find out that the entire database was yeah. exfiltrated, including credit card information and what have right. you. And yeah, and then that's the moment where you really do lose trust with that company. Look, for good, really. You've
correct.
Kind of
correct.
Burned all those bridges.
Yeah.
So you want to control the narrative, but not from a nefarious point of view, but from the correct. Point of view of, look, if we tell the truth from the outset, we can maybe salvage something of our reputation yeah. from this. Okay.
Correct. And it's not just that, but it's getting the right message out there. You know, you can say the same exact thing two different ways, and one way comes across as positive and proactive, and the other way comes across as negative, and you know, and you're washing your hands of it. I mean, this particular security breach was something that actually was something that Microsoft came out and said, "Oh yeah, this is a known issue," you know, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what you need to do to fix it. So we could have just sent out the message that says, oh, yeah, this is Microsoft's fault, right? This happened, but it's Microsoft's fault.
Yeah.
Or we could say, this happened. We're very sorry that this happened. This is why this happened. And this is what we're doing about it. And this is where we need, you know, we're trying to make this as easy on you as possible. But this is where, you know, you may need to get involved. And so messaging is really important. And I go back to like large companies. Like I go back to, say, for instance, the United issue a few years ago, where they wouldn't let the women who were wearing leggings onto the plane, or they dragged that doctor off of the plane. And you had like these kind of PR nightmares where the CEO wakes up the next morning and there's like this tweet storm that happened overnight, which is why I say crisis management, you know, having a plan or something in mind ahead of time is important, because back then there wasn't that 24-hour tweet storm.
Oh, cycle, yeah. Yeah, that's right? true. At least you could have a week or so before you
yeah,
had to.
Yeah. And you look at a company like United or some of these big corporations, and a lot of times their crisis management philosophy is, we'll just wait it out because we can afford to. But most small businesses can't, right? Any small business, like we were a company of, I think we had 13,000 users at the time, mm-hmm. which, you know, it was an okay sized company for an internet service provider, you know, in that time. It doesn't sound like much now, but back then, you know, we were growing, we were doing okay. But any negative press or any negative thing like a breach, not handled properly, could impact our business in a way that we'd have to shut the business down. We
right.
were still, you know, and so you have to keep in mind that there are some companies that they don't have to worry about the PR aspects because they've got shareholders and they know that, yeah, they're going to have a bad quarter or bad two quarters. They're going to have to answer to those shareholders or the stakeholders, but eventually things are going to, you know, they've got the money, they've got the deep pockets to be able to outlast it. And that is an attitude that a lot of companies have. I don't subscribe to that. I think that right is right, but that's me.
I'm hoping that in the back of everybody's mind listening to this, you know, if you're a WordPress user, you can imagine a sort of congruent scenario, something which was adjacent to this. You know, I don't know, your website gets hacked, somebody defaces something, your server goes down, you've just got a moment in time where it's gone from everything's fine to a sudden piece of information, which means that, oh, wait, we've got to pause whatever we're doing and get out in front of this. So I'm hoping, dear listener, that you're drawing the parallels here.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the story then. So
back to the story.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was the minute that I found out about it, I realized I was out of my depth. I knew that something had to be done from a PR standpoint. I knew we had to inform the customers, and I knew we had to craft a message that was meaningful. I just started looking at PR agencies like randomly. And as I'm like digging in, I found this company that they specialize in crisis management. That's all that they do. And I'm like, crisis management. Yeah, that's what I need. That's what this is. That's a great term for it. I'd never heard the term before. I did not know what it was. But the minute that I saw it, I was like, you know, bingo. So I called him up. His name was Jonathan Bernstein. I don't mind plugging him. And I called him up and I said, hey, I have an issue. I don't know how to handle it. And he said, okay, let me tell you a little bit about who I am, what I do. I'm an ex-Marine, and he went into like this whole thing of how he got into doing crisis management and what it was and what it means to him. And he said, first, we have to find out as much as we can about this Zilterio guy, because if he's hitting you, chances are he's hit several other people. And as it turned out, the CEO finally, after I went in and had kind of this confrontational meeting with him, he decided to call the FBI, you know, and the FBI got involved and they're like, oh yeah, Zilterio, we know who he is. He has actually extorted as much as $4 billion.
Good grief.
Yeah. $4 billion with a B.
Yeah.
And he's done it successfully, and it's because he legitimately has the data, and most companies have just paid the ransom and swept it under the carpet. Well, we were a small company. We didn't have the $40,000 to write a check. I mean, we could have, but it would have really, really put a huge dent into our operations. And we got the FBI involved, and the FBI talked to Jonathan, and the FBI said, look, this is what we know. We know that the bank transfer that they want goes through Yemen, and we suspect that this is cyber terrorism and that the money is going towards terrorist organizations. So that's, you know, and so then, of course, Jonathan, being an ex-military guy, was like, okay, we really can't give him any money, you know.
Right. It definitely paints a different picture,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. And I said, well, we're not going to give him any money, but we need to figure out how to get around this. And he says, okay, this is how we craft the message. And so he says, we need to attack this from the first step is the story that we need to tell is we need to attack this from, we need to hit the cyber terrorism thing hard. Because keep in mind, this was in the wake of 9/11 and some other things. And so it was still very fresh on people's minds. Terrorism and being hit at home and all these things were very fresh on people's mind. And once again, it was based on truth. This was not made up information. This was actual facts. And it sounds almost like it's to me, it still sounds kind of like almost like it's out of a movie, because
yeah,
it's kind of
it really
right.
Does.
So it's based on, you know, that's the important thing. But what points do we want to cover first? So the next thing that we did was we crafted an email that was going to go out to all the customers that basically said, this is what's happened. We want you to know about it. Here is what we are doing about it. Now, here is what we did about it. I called up every single credit card company. I gave them a list of our users. And I said, please put an extra flag on all of their cards and make sure that the charges, you know, because once again, back then it wasn't like it is now. You go down to 7-Eleven and you're going to get a text message that says, did you just try to charge, you know, $10 at 7-Eleven? It didn't work like that back then. If there was fraud involved with your credit card, you had to call the credit card company and report it in general. And so I had all the credit card companies flag them. And we created, I had our webmasters create a secure interface in which people could update their credit card information for payment information to us. Because once again, back then, there wasn't like credit card forms and secure and all that stuff. I mean, there were, but it was just starting to come into, you know, into vogue. It wasn't everyday stuff. Our customers, we all basically got by a phone call. You know, they signed up, and so we did that, and we put that in the email, and basically said, "This is what happened. This guy named Zilterio is trying to extort us for $40,000. You know, we have reason to believe that the money is going towards terrorism. We are not going to pay this. And in the meantime, John, the CEO, was stringing Zilterio along, basically saying, look, yeah. So he was saying, look, we don't have the money right now, which is why if I had known about it 2 weeks prior, we would have had the time we needed without the stringing along. Because at any point in time, Zilterio could have said, you know what, you strung me along enough. I'm pulling the plug. Here we go. And we basically, John bought us an extra 3 days. During that 3 days, which was the weekend that my brother was getting married, during that 3 days, we had network administration going through, doing a top-down security audit and everything, making sure that everything was fine. We had the letter crafted. We did everything that we possibly could. And then we coordinated the disbursement of the email to go out essentially the night before our deadline that we had strung Zilterio along on occurred. So I think Sunday night was when the email went out, and Monday was the day that we were supposed to pay up.
Got it.
And so, but we didn't want to send the email out before we had made sure that the security audit was done, because we wanted to make sure that he couldn't go in and do it again.
Got it.
And
yeah.
So we had to time all of this just right. And I remember being at my brother's reception and the rehearsal dinner, and I was just on my phone constantly. I still feel bad about that. That I was like on my phone constantly, like, okay, where are we with this? Where are we with this? Where are we with this? But once again, this was something that didn't happen as commonly as it does now. I mean, now it's like, oh, mother of all breaches. What does that mean? You know? Oh
yeah. It's, you know, so okay. Jaded, aren't we? Just,
yeah. But back then it was a big deal. And the thing that was really cool about this was I knew when we wrote that email, that it was going to be well received. I could just tell. I had a feeling that people were going to read the email, they were going to be understanding, and they were going to appreciate that we were honest and transparent with everything, which is what ended up happening. Ultimately, when all was said and done, weeks later, we would continue to get emails from customers that basically said, the way you handled this is why we are with you as a company. We know that with technology, there are things that we don't know, can't predict. And we appreciate the fact that you kept us informed throughout all of it. And we had contingency plans in place for in case there was overflow on the phone systems for customer support, which didn't happen because we put out enough information on our website to talk about it. We were very public about it. And so we gave the people all the information that they needed up front so that they wouldn't have to call unless there was a problem. And so we never got overwhelmed with phone calls. Our customer service department handled things just fine. Usually it was a 5-minute call and all resolved. And that was really what got me into like, man, crisis management is really a cool thing. And it's not
your
something,
crisis.
but I am so grateful for that experience, because I think in terms of lots of things. It actually shaped a lot of the way that I deal with customer support and customer service now, which is always this idea of just always like recognizing that it is a relationship and that everything is built on trust. So if you screw up, you say, I screwed up. If it's, you know, I remember going back to those Linkline days, I remember one of our upstream providers was, at that time it was called GTE, but now it's called Verizon. And I remember so many times when we had issues with the upstream provider, we'd have to call them up and they'd be like, okay, you know, what's going on? And we'd explain what's going on. And you'd hear all kinds of typing going on, all kinds of typing, right? And then at the end, they're like, well, we don't see anything wrong at our end. But magically, after all that typing, everything worked, you know? And I remember how that made us feel like we couldn't trust GTE
right,
at the time, right? It made us feel like we can't trust you, but we have to have you because you're kind of the only game in town, right? And my mentality was, we can't ever let our customers feel this way.
Yeah, it's so interesting, this story, on so many levels. A, the fact that you're hacked. B, the fact that you're in an environment, well, you're in an age, so back in, you know, 2002.
Just say the turn of the century. that sounds like even way further back.
But you were in an era where there was no social media, so the time pressure wasn't so great. So you could play this kind of cat and mouse game with the hacker. And the hackers probably weren't that savvy about that kind of cat and mouse, just assuming that A, you'd either roll over, or B, you'd never reply to them, and, you know, what have you. And then also the fact that in the meantime, you were using that time that you were buying. There must have been a part of you, by the way, during that time that was thinking, oh, this could just go south at any moment. Because really, the hacker could just press go on the email.
There was not a minute during that 72-hour period that I was not thinking
any minute now. But you managed to buy the time. But in that time, you did a whole bunch of things that you could then report to the customers, i.e., you know, you'd got the phone system ready just in case it's swamped. You've got the credit card companies on your side and they flagged so that if any peculiar transactions start to come through, they can do that. And then I think the key bit is that you couched the whole language in an apology. It's not like, okay, this is just a thing, don't worry about it, there was a Microsoft thing, blah, blah, blah. It's more like, okay, this is bad, and we're really sorry, here's what we did, and let's just see where we go from here. And it sounds from the article, this is so strange to say, but it sounds from the article as if the company did well out of this experience in terms of you gained customers and you didn't lose customers. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. No, I would say that the result of all of that was that our foundation of trust with our customers increased by multiples. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So again, the parallels between somebody operating a website business where you're managing websites, you can draw the parallels for yourself, but there's so many similarities. Now that you've been through that experience and you've got 20 plus years of rear view mirror to think about it, is there anything about the businesses that you've been involved with since then where you've had a totally different posture? In other words, have you put groundwork in so that if something like this did happen, you've got the documents ready to go? You've got the, I don't know, you've got the email kind of pre-written. You've got the, I don't even know what that means, but do you know what I mean? Has it altered the way you've done things so that you've got preparations made prior to it happening?
Once again, that's a yes and no answer, I think. Because the problem with a crisis is a crisis creates a reactionary state, right? And you're reacting to something. And you're reacting to now knowing what you didn't know as a general rule. And because we can't know what we don't know, it can be very difficult. So, of course, we go through our heads and we say, okay, what do we do if this happens? What do we do if that happens? And you kind of have like these theoretical situations, but you can't know until it actually happens exactly how to react. So it's good to play these kind of games, quote unquote games, where you're like, okay, what happens if somebody wants to extort money from us? Or what happens if there's a security breach and all of our passwords are compromised? What do we do in those cases? How do we go about informing our customers? What message do we want to leave our customers with? Well, this is a branding thing from top to bottom. And so if your brand all along was, we are transparent with our customers come first, and you know, we're not afraid to expose the underbelly of, you know, the ugliness that may occur, that may exist within our company, you know, just because of whatever. I mean, every company has things that they're working through, but they're not perfect. And if you're not afraid to do that, you're already laying the groundwork for if something happens, people are going to naturally believe you because you've always been honest with them in the first place.
That's nice. And that's worth a lot.
It's worth everything. And so it makes it a lot easier to manage a crisis when you've already established the trust and the honesty and everything up front. And so I know your question was, have I changed the way that I do things? I think I'm much more willing now to discuss the things that aren't going right.
Right.
You know, ahead of time, rather than, oh, let's just fix that and maybe nobody will notice, which probably even back then with Linkline, there probably was a little bit of that always went on. There was probably a, you know, let's just fix that and nobody will notice. And chances are that was true, right? But and I'll bring up something that happened at MainWP a couple weeks ago. We had somebody who sent us an email and said, you know, MainWP may have been part of this mother of all breaches thing, because you may have some customers that are, you know, that overlap with some of these other companies that have been compromised. And if they use the same passwords everywhere, then MainWP may be at issue. So what did we do? Well, we could have said there's nothing to this, which there probably wasn't. MainWP was never the issue. What was the issue was that we have customers at MainWP that are also customers of another company that was part of the security breach. And if they used a standard password, which a lot of people do, they use the same password on everything, then in that particular case, their account would be easily accessible because of this other company that the breach exposed. So what we could have easily done was we could have easily said, you know what, this really has nothing to do with MainWP. MainWP did not have a security breach. And we didn't. We went through and we verified all the things that you're supposed to do. But instead, we sent an email out to our customers. Dennis wrote an email, and the email said, look, we were contacted by a user. This is what happened. Your MainWP.com account, and this only affects MainWP. It doesn't affect
your little local
dashboard.
Yeah.
I need to make sure to clarify that. But it says that in the email too. And we basically said, this is exactly what happened. This is why we're telling you about it. And there is nothing for you to worry about. MainWP wasn't hacked. However, as a result of this, we are now enforcing 2FA authentication absolutely across the board, you know. So go in and activate your 2FA, you know, things like that. And the whole point of that is it's a much more proactive approach to crisis management so that you don't have to be reactive to that 72-hour cycle where you're just like banging your head and making sure that, you know, trying to do a security audit in 72 hours when you've got this deadline and write a PR, you know, handle the PR with your several thousands, 500,000 customers, million customers, whatever it might be, you know, and trying to do all of that and coordinate that and time that and all that. When you're in a reactionary state, there's a chance you're going to miss something.
Yeah. And just in a panic sort of sword of Damocles state as well, where carry on.
Yeah. So it's always important, in my opinion, the first step in crisis management is to address everything like it's important. Now, and if it is something that impacts your customers, you let them know. And that way, when the real crisis happens, because any company, if you're in business for any period of time, eventually a crisis will hit you. Something. Who knows what it might be, but eventually a crisis will hit you. When that happens, your customers, you've already established so much trust with them that your customers are going to listen to what you have to say and they're going to be on your side.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the takeaway from this episode. By the way, brilliant story. Absolutely love that. But the takeaway is, you know, be honest, be upfront, get the experts.
It really is
in.
That simple. Yeah.
Yeah. And therefore you're not going to ruin the hard-won relationship that you've got with these people. And let's be honest, you know, nobody's massively wedded to an ISP. Given a chance to find another ISP for financial reasons or because some security bombshell that you've just learned about, it's not difficult for all of those 13, 15,000 customers to just say, well, I'll just go find another one. There's probably
And they very well could have. It could have been very easy. I mean, Earthlink was very big in the day. If you remember Earthlink, I don't know, but their corporate headquarters were a half an hour from us. I mean, it was like, you know, we were all in this little microcosm, you know, this kind of general area. And it was very easy for people to move to Earthlink or to some other ISP that didn't have, you know, that.
Yeah.
By the way, we also very quickly soon after changed everything to Linux servers, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. I mean, the IIS thing is, who knows? Yeah. But, well, so there we go. Encapsulated in a few words, trust, more trust, and a bit more trust, and possibly the word honesty as well. Do those things, be prepared. What a fascinating story. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we don't do stories normally. We talk about product or we talk about, you know, a marketing strategy or something like that. And I think that's the first time we've done that. I think I should do more. I've really enjoyed that.
Well, it's a fun story to tell.
Oh, yeah. And I suspect, knowing you a little bit like I do now, I suspect there's a few more lurking around in your head somewhere.
you can't live this long without having a few stories.
Well, Mark Benzakine. Kane.
It's the least intuitive of everything that you want to say.
Mark, really enjoyed having you on the podcast today. Say farewell, where can people find you on the socials, on the email, whatever you like?
At Mark Benzak, and that's MarkBenzak. That's me on the Twitterverse. I think that's where I am on Instagram too. And then on LinkedIn, you can find me, Mark Benzakine. Where else? I'm not on Mastodon really. I should be, but I'm not. I don't know why. Facebook, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me just about anywhere. And I also want to say one more thing, and I'm just doing this because they're my friends, and I want to say this. I'm going to be speaking at WordCamp Canada. This is the first WordCamp Canada, so it's a countrywide. It's not just a city like WordCamp Toronto or anything like that. These guys are working their butts off to put together a really good WordCamp. I can't wait to go, and I hope that you know, the 8 million listeners to this podcast, I hope some of you will come and see me there.
WordCamp, eh? there was a joke in there somewhere. Thank you so much, Mark, for chatting to us today. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that really interesting conversation. We've never touched anything like that before. If you've got any comments for Mark or myself, head to wpbuilds.com and search for episode number 387 and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. You can experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. We're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And we're also joined by Memberful. Memberful, building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, Omnisend, and Memberful. Okay, that really is all that I've got time for. I hope that you enjoyed it. Like I said earlier, leave us a comment, go to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 387, and drop a comment into the WordPress commenting system. Okay, all I've got to do now, really, is fade in the typical cheesy music that I bring to bear on each and every episode, and say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.